The Tanya for the 12th day of Nisan is in chapter 39 on page 106 at the number at the top and 196 at the number at the bottom. The Alter Rebbe says that doing a mitzvah or studying without kavana, meaning to say without any particular kavana, not the kavana lishma, which means doing the mitzvah for its own sake, and that means doing it in order to cleave to God, but also not doing it for any ulterior motive, but rather out of habit. That's called shelo lishma, that's called without love and fear, without kavana, because the only way to do a mitzvah for God's sake, with the desire to fulfill His will, is when you do it either out of love or out of fear. Just like with a friend, the only time you would do a favor to a friend only for the friend's sake is when you either love the friend or fear him. So what happens when you do a mitzvah, shelo lishma, without an ulterior motive, a positive, ungodly reason? What happens is that the mitzvah rises only to the world of Yetzirah, but not to the godliness of Yetzirah, not to the Yetziris, not to the godliness there. And that's called not rising. Since it doesn't connect with the godliness of the world, it is called not rising. Now, about eight lines from the bottom, the line that begins L'kamon, six lines from the bottom. Okay, sha'esek sh'lo lishma mamosh. When a person does the Torah or the mitzvahs literally for the wrong reason, shum ezupniyo, for some ulterior motive, l'kavod atzmei, for in order to bring honor to himself, kagein li'es talmud chacham chahay davna, as for example, he's doing it because he wants to be recognized and wants the respect of a talmud chacham, and that's why he's studying, that's why he's doing mitzvahs. Or even worse than that, lower, uglier, ulterior motives. Azai eisopniya shemitzad haklipa denoiga. Then this ulterior motive that comes from klipas noiga mislabeshes b'teirasi. It envelops the Torah that he learns and the mitzvahs that he does. V'hatayda he bebechinas golus b'teich haklipa lefisha. And the Torah that he studies is in Golos, is in exile, within the Klippa, is trapped in the Klippa temporarily. So that not only doesn't it rise to the holiness of the world of Yetzirah, it doesn't rise at all, it is stuck in the Klippa. It doesn't rise even to the world of Yetzirah. Ah, dasha'ya se tshuva, until such time as he does tshuva. Because to bring the Torah and the mitzvahs out of Klippa, you have to have tshuva. Because tshuva is made via refuah le'olam, tshuva is what brings a cure to the world. And here there's a need for a cure, because the Torah and the mitzvahs, although they are Torah and mitzvahs, but they are stuck in klipa. And through tshuva, the Torah and the mitzvahs are redeemed. Shebeshuv el Hashem, when a person does tshuva and he goes back to godliness, gam teirasei shava imei, then the Torah that he studied and the mitzvah that he performed return with him. V'lachin amr dezal, and that's why the sages say le'elam yasek adam, etc., that a person should always study Torah, even if his motivation is not kosher, because miteich shelo lishma bo lishma bevada, that from the ulterior motive he will eventually come to do the mitzvah and to study the Torah for its own sake, without any doubt, it must happen. Shebevadai seife lasis tshuva. Because the way to get the Torah back, that it should become lishma, and the mitzvah that he performed should become lishma, is by doing tshuva. And there is no doubt that in the end, every Jew must do tshuva. Begilgul zei, begilgul achet. Either in this lifetime or in another lifetime. Because, ki lo yidach mimenu nidach, because even the person who temporarily, for one reason or another, is rejected, is called nidach, a rejected one, pushed away from godliness, but in the end, in the final analysis, leyidach, he will not be rejected. So that a person should always study Torah and do mitzvahs, even with ulterior motives, because in the end, not only will he eventually come to do more mitzvahs, and those new mitzvahs will be done lishma, but even the mitzvahs that he's doing now, with ulterior motives, will eventually become elevated to the level of mitzvahs or Torah lishma, when he does tshuva, and he certainly will do tshuva. So that's if he learns shalei lishma, meaning with an ulterior motive, mamash. Ach, kisha'eis estam, when a person does a mitzvah without any kavanah at all, loy lishma v'loy shalei lishma, his intention is not lishma, his intention is also not shalei lishma with an ulterior motive, but rather, as we learned earlier, he does it out of habit, he's in the habit of serving and fearing God, then ein hadavar toli b'tshuva, then it doesn't depend on tshuva. It doesn't have to wait for the tshuva. Ella miyad shechezer v'leim hadavar zeh lishma, as soon as he goes back and relearns the same subject with the proper kavana, harei gam mashalomad b'stam, then the other learning, the time that he learned it without a kavana lishma, mischa beru mitztarif v'limud zeh, it connects and joins this new limud, the new study, which was lishma uparcha le'elo, and even the one that he studied shalei lishma rises me'acha shalei mislabish be'adayin shum klipa b'noiga, since it never got stuck in noiga, in klipa, because he never learned it for an ulterior motive. He learned it without any motives at all. So the only thing that was lacking was the positive kavana. Now that he's learning the same subject with the positive kavana, so the time that he studied it without any kavana at all joins this kavana and rises with it, so that it doesn't have to have tshuva to break it out of klipa, since it never was in klipa. V'lochein, and this is why le'elam yasik adam, that a person should always study Torah even when he is missing the lishma, because that which he studies without any particular positive kavana will very easily become positive as soon as he turns around and studies with kavana. The same is true also with davening. The person davens without kavana, that if he goes back and davens a second time, or the next time, and he davens with kavana, then all the davening that preceded it, which was lacking kavana, rises with the tefillah, with the davening that has kavana, as he writes in the Zohar. Yep. So now the Alter Rebbe has explained for us that there are two levels of shalei lishma. One level of shalei lishma is where you don't have any particular positive kavana. You also don't have any negative kavana. That's called shalei lishma. And what happens is that the mitzvahs that you perform in this fashion, or the Torah that you study in this fashion, doesn't rise and connect to the holiness that is in the world of Yetzirah, but rather it remains in the chambers of Yetzirah, in the chambers or the external part of the world of Yetzirah. Whereas when you do a mitzvah shalei lishma mamash, meaning with a definite negative kavana, with an ulterior motive, a selfish motive, or even in the worst case, doing it in spite, or doing it to make fun, and so on. Even then, it goes under the category of mitzvah shalei lishma, or Torah shalei lishma. But what happens then is that, number one, it doesn't rise even to the world of Yetzirah, not even to the external chambers of Yetzirah. And secondly, unlike the first mitzvah that is performed with any particular kavana at all, when you do the next mitzvah, or when you do the same mitzvah again with kavana, or you study the same subject again with kavana, then the time that you studied it without kavana joins and shares in that kavana, and it rises to the holiness of the world of Yetzirah, whereas when you do a mitzvah with an ulterior motive, then it's not enough that you will do the mitzvah again with kavana, but you have to first do tshuva. Since it became trapped in klipa, it has to be broken out of the klipa, and that is through tshuva. But either way, in the relative importance or significance of kavana and act, of the act of the mitzvah and the kavana of the mitzvah, we see that in the end, in the final analysis, the act of the mitzvah is the essential thing. Because even when we do the mitzvah in the lowest level of shalei lishma, with an absolute ulterior motive, so although it's true that you have to do tshuva in order to break it out of the klipa, and it doesn't rise even to the world of Yetzirah without this tshuva, yet there is something there to be redeemed. There is something there to be elevated. And sooner or later, ultimately, the person must do tshuva, as the Alter Rebbe says, so that that mitzvah will eventually not only be a mitzvah, but it will also be elevated to where it will rise and connect with the godliness in the higher world of Yetzirah. Whereas, if you have kavana without the act of the mitzvah, then there is nothing at all. That is completely meaningless. So the result is that in the final analysis, the act of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. The kavana of the mitzvah is there to enhance the act, to serve the act, just as wings that carry the bird upward are there to enhance the bird, but the bird itself is the animal, is the living creature, with or without the wings, whereas the wings themselves are literally nothing. In the Hayem Yom for the 12th day of Nisan, which is Shabbos HaGadol, the Rebbe writes that in Mincha, or after Mincha, we say Avodim Hayinu. And then, in the body of the text, the Rebbe writes that from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Jews are called Tziveis Hashem, the army of Hashem. The difference between servants, which Jews are sometimes described as servants of God, versus tzivos, army of God, the difference is that an eved, a servant, does the service for his master. And in that, there can be many levels, different levels of service. As for example, he can be working with diamonds, or he can be doing other kinds of work, and he can be doing very simple labors. And in this, there is a great effort and great work. But it doesn't involve Mesiras Nefesh, necessarily. A soldier, on the other hand, toils with great labor and self-sacrifice. There's always an element of Mesiras Nefesh in either the war of defense, the offensive war, or the defensive war. The soldier stands at his post with the highest degree of determination, undeterred by the enemy. And their service is not one of comprehension where they understand why they're doing or what they're doing. They act according to the orders of the commander. The Jews in Mitzrayim were utterly degraded by the severe and bitter enslavement. And despite it all, they did not change their names, their language, or their clothing. And that was an expression of absolute determination to stand their post, to hold their ground, because they knew and trusted that God had promised to redeem them and would. Whoever behaves in such a manner, under such circumstances, is a soldier in the army of Hashem. And God will come to his assistance in a way that will show itself within nature, but will be, in fact, miracles higher than nature.